All right, welcome to the Sooners Extra Twitter Spaces. I'm your host, Ryan Aver, joined by Justin Martinez and Jenny Carlson. Hopefully, Barry Trammell will be with us here momentarily. Here to talk about OU Texas and what's wrong with the Sooners, what could happen on Saturday. And Justin, have to start off with discussion about the quarterback situation. Brent Venables didn't have much of an update today, but I've got to think it's not going to be Dylan Gabriel on Saturday in the Cotton Bowl.
Yeah, it sounds that way. I mean, it's no surprise that the Brent isn't revealing his hand just yet. You know, it's better to leave it for just more for Texas to scout. But you'd have to imagine, I mean, just from him entering concussion protocol, that his chances aren't too high. And if that's the case, if he's not able to suit up, then it's still kind of a mystery. I mean, you have to figure that Davis Bevel probably starts as the guy, but I mean, I wouldn't rule it out that we could see a little bit of you know, General Booty or Nick Evers. So it's kind of going to be we'll see what happens. It's there's a lot of possibilities for how this can play out. But it sounds like, just from, you know, the sense we're getting, that Dylan Gabriel probably won't be available for this one.
What about you, Jenny? What do you think about that? And for me, it's hard to imagine Nick Evers getting thrown into that spot, given the fact that he hasn't played a collegiate snap yet. And this is OU Texas. It'd be really a tough ask for a freshman to get thrust into that role. But we saw Davis Bevel really struggle on Saturday. Do you think Bevel's the guy if Gabriel can't go, or do you think it's Booty, or do you think they do something else?
Yeah, you know, it would have been interesting if they would have maybe played one of those other quarterbacks besides Davis Bevel on Saturday at TCU. Didn't really get much of a look at either of those guys. So it would be a huge lift for either Nick Evers or General Booty to be ready to go. But if what we saw on Saturday out of Davis Bevel is how he is going to play, you know, very immobile, standing in the pocket. If he's going to just stand there, if he's not going to have the willingness, ability, or whatever to get out and run around a little bit, he's got to throw the ball. And he looked mortified in a lot of instances to do that. Now, I know he was thrust into that game, you know, on the fly, not many snaps. That's a tough place to be when you're a backup who hasn't really played very much. So maybe a week of practice changes that. But if they need somebody who's a little more mobile, then maybe we do see one of those other guys. It's an interesting question, and you know, they could really go any way. But I find it unlikely to think that Dylan Gabriel will be available, just because of the severity of that hit. Looked like he was knocked out on the hit, and not to say that that is a for sure sign that it's going to take more than a week to be ready to go again and play coming out of concussion protocol. Just makes it a little less likely. So I think it's going to be one of those other guys, but you know, I do think it's interesting. We saw Monday night, last night, players available after practice, saw Nick Evers out there throwing it around a little bit with a couple of receivers, including Gavin Freeman, which likely were scout team guys together. So maybe it doesn't mean anything, but you know, we'll see. I have to think they're giving all of them a look, considering Davis Bevel didn't exactly leave them with a great sense of confidence after what he did at TCU.
And Barry Trammell also joins us. Barry, when you look at what Davis Bevel did on Saturday, and we saw the numbers weren't that great, 7 of 16, just like Dylan Gabriel, but only had 50 yards passing, a lot of really, really short passes, the ones he completed, and took several sacks. How much prospect is there for what the Davis Bevel that we see on Saturday, if he's ultimately the guy, to be different than the one we saw down in Fort Worth?
He's got to be better than the Bevel we saw. Now, because of this, if someone had told me a Pitt's third-team quarterback is going to be OU's backup quarterback in 2022, I would have been very pessimistic. However, he got to play in that Peach Bowl against Michigan State most of the game and did halfway well. He acquitted himself very well, gave the Panthers a chance to win. And that was a big game for Pitt, first major bowl in a while for them. So that wasn't any kind of just slough-off game. So I think he's capable of playing well, but he was put in a bad position. He was put in a, you know, when it, if you remember when he came in, soon he's about midfield, seemed like maybe 40, 45 of TCU, and they go down and score, which was sort of encouraging. Now they didn't do much the rest of the day, but I got to believe he's going to be better. But Jacko was right. He's not, if he's going to play like that, you know, I don't recommend, I actually don't recommend an immobile quarterback for any team anymore on any level of football. Seems like a good way to get beat. But especially down there in OU, Texas, where, you know, we've seen the mobile quarterback sort of own that series in recent years, right? The Caleb Williams, the Baker Mayfield, the Sam Ellinger, the Kyler Murrays, Jalen Hurts, all those guys. Heck, Texas went down there in 2015, 1-4, and stunk. And they had Jared Hurd playing quarterback. He was a wide receiver, ended up playing wide receiver. He couldn't throw a lick, but he could run around a little bit. And they hung in the game and won it. So I would feel much better about the Sooners if they had a mobile quarterback.
Yeah, and you look at Davis Bevel's stats in that Peach Bowl that Barry mentioned, 14 of 18 for 149 yards, a touchdown, one interception, but the rushing totals minus 30 on 7, so a lot of sacks there again. But you've got to think Davis Bevel will be better. The question is how much better, and you can't change the fundamental nature of who he is as a quarterback. So I think it's going to be interesting to see what Brent Venables decides to do, how different this offense looks under Jeff Lebby if Dillon Gabriel can't go and they stick with Davis Bevel there. Justin, going back to you, a lot of injuries in Saturday's game outside of Dillon Gabriel. It looks like Eric Gray is likely to be back on Saturday. We got to talk to him last night. That's generally a good sign that someone's going to be available to play. He said that he was all right. My thought is that he would have been ready to go and all right to go back in that game had it been closer and not been a TCU blowout at that point. But when you look at all the guys that the Sooners are missing or potentially missing, outside of Dillon Gabriel, who do you is most important for Saturday to get back that's realistic?
Yeah, I think just with the way that the offensive line has been playing better as of late, I think losing Wanye again would be pretty detrimental to him. I mean, obviously he's seen as a leader of that group, a senior. So, you know, being able to keep that offensive line intact, I think would be good because we saw that they played better once he came back after missing the first two games. So I think Wanye would be the big one on offense. You could argue that it's a guy like Billy Bowman as well in the secondary who leads the team in broken up passes with four of them this season. He's another guy who's able to have a big impact. So those are just a few to come to mind, but I probably would lean towards Wanye just because the offensive line looks like it's been having some good outings and you wouldn't want a setback for that group.
Yeah, it's hard to disagree with that, Jenny, but another position I look at is the defensive ends group, and a group that wasn't hit by injuries necessarily on Saturday, but was hit by them coming in. Reggie Grimes and Ethan Downs played a big part of the Sooners' defensive success over those first three games. Over the last couple of games, they haven't been as apparent. Now, certainly defenses have focused in on those guys and taken them away. But on Saturday, the Sooners didn't have Marcus Stripling. They didn't have R. Mason Thomas, who hasn't played since the second game of the season, although it looked like he was going through some work yesterday after practice. Maybe he's a whole lot closer to returning. How important is getting those guys back just to give that defense, especially on the edge, a little bit more push?
Yeah, for sure. I think that, you know, it seems like physicality often comes into play when you have these OU Texas games. And, you know, for sure, I think that the more you can have to sub in there, the better. And, you know, saw a lot of snaps by Grimes and Downs and the defensive linemen who are available at TCU. So while it would help in the short term, it's also good for the long term. I mean, you want to give those guys a chance to, you know, not get to the midway point of the year and have essentially played, you know, nearly every snap. And Brent Venables did say today that both Marcuses, who were gone, Stripling and Major, gone from TCU, didn't travel, were that those absences were because of injury. He didn't follow up with any sort of update. I think it kind of fell in the same vein of what he said first up today, that it wasn't going to really address any of that, who's going to be available. But if they can get Stripling back, I think that would be a huge help. That defensive line, as far as the defense goes, I think is where they could give the secondary, give the linebackers a little bit of a hand. It seems like they do have some talent there. And if they can put that to use and give, you know, give the linebackers a better chance to operate, you know, give the defensive back some help, maybe, you know, getting to the quarterback or hurrying him a little bit, at least making, you know, passing game a little more difficult. All that could really help those positions that, you know, maybe don't have quite the depth or quite the talent that it looks like the defensive line could trot out there. So we'll see if they do get Marcus Stripling back, that could be good. That could be very helpful for that defensive line.
And Barry, Justin mentioned it. Jenny touched on it a little bit, the secondary and the struggles that we've seen there on Saturday, late in the game, a couple of freshman DBs, Jaden Rowe and Robert Spears Jennings, made their season debuts. And obviously part of that was forced by some of the injuries that we saw. Billy Bowman, like Justin mentioned, Damon Harmon, another one. But how big a role do you feel like some of these freshmen that haven't played much early in the season could play here, starting really on Saturday's game, as the Sooners try to figure out something different on the defensive side of the ball?
Well, you got two things at work here. One is there's no reason to play veterans if they can't make a play or get lined up. On the other hand, do you want to give freshmen or newcomers or whoever their baptism in OU Texas? Because it's a different environment. You know, Brent talked today about how you got to, you know, every week's got to be the same, but it's not the same. When you walk into, you know, when you wake up that morning, you know it's not the same. When you ride the bus to the state fair, you know it's not the same. When you go through the fairgrounds and the opposing fans are rocking your bus and giving you the bird, you know it's not the same. And when you walk onto the grass of the Cotton Bowl, you know it's not the same. So it's a case of this is a game that can psychologically scar people. Now, not everybody, or maybe not even most people, but some people aren't ready for that. Do you want to do it now, or do you want to wait next week? So that's a juggling act Venables has to play. In some ways, it's the same way at quarterback. You know, it's pretty clear to me that the most talented quarterback behind Dylan Gabriel is Nick Evers, but you know, he's never played in a college game and doesn't really know what it's all about. So doesn't seem like a really good time to debut him. And that goes for the guys on defense, because it's not like Texas has a bunch of stiffs playing wide out. I mean, they got Xavier Worthy and people like that running pass routes. And you know, he tore up the Sooners last year with one of the best days ever against OU by a wide receiver. So he's capable of doing it again.
Yeah, he certainly is. And Justin, that sort of transitions into what I was going to ask you about Texas, sort of looking at specifically the matchup there. When you look at the Longhorns offense, and obviously they've got a lot of talent, really talented players there. who do you see as most dangerous to the Sooners among those skill position guys that they've got?
Yeah, I mean, on offense, it's got to start with Bijan Robinson. I mean, this is a guy who's one of the best running backs in the country, for sure one of the best ones in the Big 12. Had a good performance against OU last season and, you know, has 8 touchdowns this season, which I believe is the I want to say is the most among non-quarterbacks in the Big 12 this season. So just a workhorse for them. You know, definitely somebody that OU's – I mean, Texas is going to try to lean on, especially with OU struggles stopping the run against teams like TCU, Kansas State. So, yeah, I think it's got to start with Robinson. Just his physicality that he brings, it's going to be hard to bring him down, which OU has already shown struggles with tackling as of late, so that could be problematic. I just think it starts with Bijan Robinson.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with that. Only 3 other players in Division I football have more rushing touchdowns than Robinson's 8 this season. One of those is Adrian Martinez from Kansas State, who racked up most of those of his 9 against the Sooners a couple weeks ago. Jenny, when you look at the quarterback matchup here, and we've talked a lot about OU's uncertainty at that position, Texas has some uncertainty there with Hudson Card, who started the last couple of games. Quinn Ewers has sort of been circling this game as his potential to return after getting injured against Alabama in that 1-point loss by the Longhorns a few weeks ago. When you look at that quarterback, the quarterback possibilities for Texas, should the Sooners be hoping that Quinn Ewers comes back in there, or that Hudson Card stays the starter?
I mean, if you told me that Quinn Ewers is going to take the starting job and look like he did before he got hurt against Alabama, I'd probably go with Hudson Card, but I don't know if that – I mean, can you expect a guy to pick right back up after being sidelined with an injury? It was his non-throwing shoulder, so, you know, maybe it's not – maybe the rust isn't there like you would think if it was, you know, an injury that he sustained to his throwing apparatus. I don't know, his arm, shoulder, elbow, whatever. But, you know, you just don't know what he's going to look like. If he can come back and – look like he did against the Crimson Tide, that's a pretty tough thing for anybody to handle. We saw that Alabama was having trouble with it. But if there's rust, then I would say, you know, I'll take my chances against Quinn Ewers, because I think Hudson Card's playing really well right now for Texas. You know, he's definitely not been the ballyhooed name that Quinn Ewers is, but he's looked pretty good for them here of late. It seems to have some mobility. You can run around a little bit. You know, that's, again, as we mentioned before, Oklahoma's had problems with all of that. So I think that could be a big challenge. But clearly, if Ewers is what he was against Alabama, you know, that's one of the better quarterbacks, you know, probably in college football, if you can sustain that for the entire season.
Yeah, Ewers was certainly really good against Alabama, Barry, but with Hudson Card's mobility that Jenny touched on there, is it better for the Sooners, regardless, to take their chances with Quinn Ewers versus what Hudson Card's skill set is and what he's shown over these last couple games?
No, if I was OU, I'd rather play against Hudson Card for 2 reasons. One is Hudson Card is more mobile, it appears. But it's not like he's Adrian Martinez or even Max Dugan, who is an excellent, has been for 4 years, an excellent runaround quarterback. And 2, let's not overthink this. I mean, we saw Quinn Ewers. He stood in there against Alabama and really held up and played well when he was – and they sort of pieced it together with Card. One of these 2 quarterbacks is superior to the other one. So – especially if Gabriel's out, you don't want Ewers in there if you're the Sooners. And try to keep the discrepancy at quarterback as small as possible.
Yeah, it's hard to argue against you there, Barry. Justin, going back to you, when you look at the guys who aren't hurt or that we're not questioned over whether they can play or not, on the offensive side for OU, who is the most important player in this game on Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, I think the guy that's got to get involved is Marvin Mims. You look at what he did last time that he faced OU. I think it was a career high at the time in receiving yards for him. I believe it was, 134, I think. I might be a little bit off on that.
136.
There you go. But, yeah, I mean, he was a driving force in that comeback. I mean, he really became the favorite in the passing game there. Two touchdowns. You know, if he's able to get involved, that would be really big. Obviously, you would like for other wide receivers to get involved. That's kind of been a thing is, you know, which guys establish themselves as the number two option. But, you know, it starts with Marvin Mims. He's the guy that's the most explosive, can break out for those big plays. They can find him downfield. So I definitely think that he's going to be the guy that he's going to have to get involved early.
Jenny, would you say it's Mims or is it a guy like Eric Gray with, you know, what he's shown in both the running game and the receiving game, or even a guy like Braden Willis, who with some questions over whether Davis Bevel can, stretch the field with some of those passes, is a guy like Braden Willis maybe even more important in a game like this than he otherwise would be?
I mean, I think all those guys who are veterans, of this game and veterans overall, Marvin, Braden, Eric Gray are all important, but I'll throw a wild card in here. With Wanya Morris probably not playing, we saw him in a sling last Saturday at TCU. I think a guy like Andrew Rame or some of those offensive linemen, those could be really important pieces to what we see on Saturday. I mean, probably were the brightest spot in a pretty dark day for Oklahoma down there at Fort Worth. You know, didn't average 5 yards a carry, which is kind of the gold standard for the run game. But, you know, they had an offense that for a good chunk of that game, TCU knew that they were going to run the ball because Davis Bevel was, you know, having such difficulties throwing the ball. So, you know, when they know that Oklahoma's going to run and then they're running without Eric Gray, you know, I thought that the offensive line did a fairly good job. But as was mentioned before, you know, they really had turned a seeming big corner after Wanya Morris was inserted in there. And now with him hurt, you know, that offensive line, if they can stand up against Texas's defensive front, which, you know, I think against Alabama, everybody sort of sat up and said, oh, my gosh, this is the Texas defense of, you know, 10 years ago, 12 years ago. They're coming after guys. They're looking physical. They're playing hard. You know, if they can do that against Oklahoma, it's going to be a hard day for the Sooners. And let's not kid ourselves here. After what Oklahoma did last week, there is zero doubt in my mind that Texas isn't sitting down there in Austin right now saying, we want to destroy these guys. We want to absolutely annihilate Oklahoma because they have that chance. If Oklahoma is going to play defensively like they did at Fort Worth, if they're going to not get any, you know, much more out of their offense than they did at Fort Worth, Texas is going to go for the jugular and quick. So Oklahoma's got to do something offensively to try to mitigate, some of what Texas is likely going to try to throw at them. And I think that offensive line is going to be pretty darn important on Saturday.
Yeah, it will be. I think I'd throw Anton Harrison in with that group that you're talking about at offensive line. You know, we'll see who has the quarterback's blind side, whichever quarterback it is. Obviously, it's a little bit different if it's Dylan Gabriel being left-handed versus those other guys. But, Barry, going to the other side of the ball, the defensive side, when you look at the guys that, again, aren't in question over whether or not they're going to play or weren't hurt or out last week, who do you circle as the guy that is the biggest key to Sooner success on Saturday?
Oh, if you're talking about guys who are capable, which there aren't many, I think you look at Jalen Redmond. Can he be a consistent destructive force? whether he's on the edge or inside, wherever it's at, you know, help stuff in the game, put a good pass rush on whoever's quarterbacking. You know, you can always say a linebacker, but the truth is they're not that capable. The Grimes and Downs, you know, we're still waiting to see something out of them these last 2 weeks. I think Caleb Redmond is probably the best defender on that defense. So it's sort of on his shoulders. I don't know. That's the problem they have, is they don't have a ton of guys that are even capable of doing asking, much less actually do it. So it's a little bit of a beleaguered situation. OU might have to try to outscore Texas, and I don't know that they can do it.
Justin, for you, when you look at that, is it Redmond? I think Barry's right about, you know, the capability of the rest of the defense based on what we've seen so far. Obviously, there's been some flashes out of those DBs, especially Billy Bowman, but haven't seen that consistently. The Sooners haven't had a takeaway in the last two games. It's been a while. It's been since that 2019 season, since they've gone more than two games without a takeaway. Heck, I think that the end of 2019 might have been the last time that they went two games. But is there another guy that stands out to you, and how important is it for the Sooners to find some way to force a turnover in a Cotton Bowl on Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, I think Barry hit the nail right on the head there. If we're talking ideally, I mean, ideally you would love for the linebackers, Justin Harrington, that would be the most ideal scenarios for them to come in and really have a strong performance, just as a group or any of those guys individually. But if we're talking realistically, you know, I think the defensive line is the most capable group. You know, that's what entered the season as the strongest group on defense. So Jalen Redmond is a guy, Reggie Grimes as well, as Barry said. So those are definitely the ones that, you know, you're kind of looking at. But yeah, I mean, in terms of the takeaways, for sure, especially the offense has been struggling to come out hot to start games lately. The defense would for sure have to get some stops early on as well, kind of keep OU's offense in it as well, as long as they, you know, as long as it takes for them to warm up. So getting some takeaways would be big for them. But yeah, I mean, they haven't had a whole lot of them so far this season. A few of them have kind of come towards the end of games where it's the game's no longer really in question. So definitely that's got to be a point of emphasis for them as well today, this weekend.
Yeah, I think they've got to find a way to manufacture those things. We've seen how big turnovers can be in any game, but especially in a game like OU Texas. And certainly with the way the Sooners are playing right now, they're going to need to find a way to work through those things. Jenny, I believe you're the one of us that's not going to be at the game on Saturday. So I hate to ask this question, but you've been to plenty of OU Texas games before. What do you most look forward to about OU Texas that's different from any other game?
You know, even when you go to OU Texas with some regularity, I still think it's always kind of a stark visual when you get there and you see that 50-yard line divide and it's solid crimson on one side and it's solid burnt orange on the other. I just think that's one of those things that you remember. I mean, you know it. It's going to happen every year. But yet still to see that is it's always sort of a cool moment to see those stands fill in and look up at kickoff and have that clear dividing line. And you know what? One thing that, you know, this rivalry has become, it's also sort of become tradition over the last decade plus that no matter how these teams come into this game, they're going to give us a competitive and interesting game. It may not always be exactly well played. There may not be, you know, 100% high level execution, but almost without fail, regardless of where the teams are when they come into this game for the last, you know, decade and then some, there have been really great, interesting games in this series, you know, sort of the instant classic mold of things. 2 years ago, it's the overtimes and the COVID year. Last year was the OU comeback. the walk-off touchdown. I mean, it's just a series that, you know, even if they're not in the running for a college football playoff spot or, you know, Big 12 title game or whatever the case may be, these two teams put on a show. So I'm going to miss being in the stadium for what I know, you know, just based on history, is going to be a heck of a show.
And Barry, you will be there. You've been to plenty of these things before. This one's a little bit different. It's been a long time since OU and Texas have both entered this game unranked. I think 1998, the year before Bob Stoops' arrival, was the last time that was the case. But you've been to, again, a ton of these. What about you? What are you most looking forward to about just the game and the atmosphere on Saturday?
What I always look most forward to is seeing that I know, some of whom I know I'm going to see and some I don't know that I'm going to see, because I always see, you know, tons of people, my past friends or whoever, out in the fair or even in the stadium. And that's always a delight. See all people you hadn't seen in a long time. That's what I look most forward to. I look forward to crowds, but pre-game of a mess, but post-game's all, you know, the crowds have a little bit. That's what I look forward to. And Jacko was exactly right. You know, this game was sort of not all that dramatic most years for a long time, but the last 8 years, we've had great games. Just spectacular finishes. I mean, the last 2 years, think about it. The last 2 years, we've had a four overtime game and then a comeback from 21 points down in which the team that rallied won it with a walk-off touchdown at the buzzer. So, virtual walk-off touchdown. I think 1 second was left when Kennedy Brooks scored. So it's become high drama, fabulous theatrics. I assume that's going to end this year, but you never know.
Yeah, I don't know that I'd make that assumption based on the history of this game, regardless of how one team enters playing well or one team enters playing poorly. It always seems like this series produces some really good games, especially in recent years. Justin, your perspective is a little bit different. You've been sort of on both sides of this thing. What about you? What are you most looking forward to on Saturday?
Yeah, like you mentioned, I'm a San Antonio native, obviously went to UT, family, all Texas fans. So for personal reasons, it's always nice to be able to go there and see a bunch of family members. But just like you guys have been talking about, these games always find a way to be interesting. I mean, 8 of the last 9 games between OU and Texas have been one possession. So always just ends up being a good show. There's always some sort of storylines going into it and always some sort of curveball as well where you didn't expect something to happen, but it does. So I'm sure it'll find a way to be a competitive game. Definitely just looking forward to going out there.
Yeah, and for me, just looking, I always like the pregame atmosphere of things, walking around outside the fair, seeing the teams drive up, the way that fans react. Barry alluded to it, not always the most civil of times, but always interesting to see how the teams are received by fans from both sides. But it should be a really fun one on Saturday in Dallas. Guys, we'll start to wrap it up here with some predictions. And Barry, I want to start off with you because you have a system of predicting this game every year that maybe gets tested a little bit in this matchup, given what we've seen. You know, how do you think this game plays out, and what's your prediction?
It's two different questions there, Bobby Hebert. I mean, I think Texas is going to kick the snot out of OU. Sooners can't play defense, and now they don't have a quarterback. And, you know, I'm hard-pressed. I don't know if they played Texas El Paso right now if they could win. However, I always pick to win the OU-Texas game the winner of the OU-Texas game from the previous October. I do that for very valid psychological reasons, which are, I think this is a real metal testing game. It's a no excuses game. Almost every game in college football every year is on a home field. So there's intrinsic advantage for one team over the other. If the loser of a game is on the road, they can always say, you know what, we'd have won this at home. If fans, they can always, they may not say it, but in they can feel, you know what, this sure helped us. I don't know how we'd have done on the road. There's none of that in this game. It's 50-50 down the middle. It's halfway between the two universities. It's a no-excuses game, and I think winning this game fortifies the confidence level for that team the next season. Now, two things are at play here. One is this is not the OU team last year, and going forward, you're going to see a lot more roster turnover because of the transfer portal. My system may go, you know, thrown again to Louisville Lake for all I know. However, I believe in principles, and I believe in following my principles, and my principles is to pick the winner of the previous year. So that's why I picked OU 28-27. Here's the way I see it. A couple of blocked punts here, a couple of Bijan Robinson fumbles there, and maybe it's a ball game.
Well, we'll see if the Sooners are able to make good on your prediction and get you a win in our pick standings, which you're doing pretty good on right now, Barry, at leading against the spread. But we'll see what happens on Saturday. Justin, what about you? What do you got on Saturday down in Dallas?
Well, it's not a good look for me as a Texas alum saying this, but I do think Texas is going to win this game. I trust in Hudson Card more than Davis Bevel. You know, if neither of the starter quarterbacks are able to play, I just think OU's defense is going to have a problem stopping Bijan Robinson, Xavier Worthy, guys like that. Just too many big play guys on Texas's offense, and you know, stopping these big plays has been a big problem for OU's defense, among other things. So I would go with Texas. I'd probably say 31-20 would be my guess.
So Justin not only has Texas winning, but has them covering. Jenny, it sounds like you're on a similar path there.
Yeah. I picked, even though I was touting the classic close nature of this rivalry in recent years, I like Texas a whole lot more than I like Oklahoma right now. I would like to think that Oklahoma is going to get some things figured out, but Texas seems to have some things already figured out. So I've got them winning 31-13. Like I said, I hope I'm wrong, because I would really like to see a close game. I think with all the, you know, injury questions, defense questions, which, you know, we were wondering if what we saw against K-State was the exception or the rule. And against TCU, we saw the Sooners play even worse, which is, you know, as bad as they played, that was, to me, every bit as concerning, that instead of improving after a week of, you know, defensive disappointment, they went the other way. So I'd like to think they'll get some things figured out, but I just don't know if they can do it in this environment against an opponent that I think is pretty good. And I've got Texas winning this one on Saturday.
Yeah, I do think OU does get some things figured out on the offensive side. I think Jeff Lebby figures out a way for them to be effective regardless of who the quarterback is. I think OU scores more points than it did last week. Their offense looks more effective. I think Eric Gray is certainly poised for a strong game in this one, especially given OU's quarterback situation. But I think it's also going to wind up being a close game. I think it's going to be tight. We've seen that the last few years, even with talent disparities on either side. But I just think that Texas, with their two quarterbacks that they feel pretty good about, versus OU with their starting quarterback, their guy who has been the starting quarterback, has struggled over the last couple games. Davis Bevel did not look particularly good in his action on Saturday after Gabriel's injury. I just think the Longhorns are a little bit too much for the Sooners. I picked Texas to win 37-30, but we'll see what happens on Saturday down in the Cotton Bowl. We're going to wrap up this edition of Sooners Extra. Appreciate y'all joining us, and look forward to being down in Dallas, as always, on Saturday for the Red River Showdown between the Sooners and Longhorns. Justin Berry and I, at least, will be here once again on Spaces after the game to talk about what went down in the Cotton Bowl and what it means for the Sooners moving forward. But for now, thank you so much for joining us. Have a great week. We'll be back after the game and at the same time next Tuesday to talk OU football. Thanks so much. Have a good one.